Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and have skyrocketed to season 44. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 44, Drop the Four, Keep the Four, episode 7, Let's Not Be Cute About It. Before that, I had somebody throw out some knowledge about French Survivor on Reddit.
I didn't know that French Survivor existed.
Yeah, people survive there too. Weird.
I can't imagine how.
So they said that they think that there was a season of French Survivor where at the beginning of the season, everybody was given a set amount of parchments for voting, and you had to determine how you use that throughout the season. And so they were given, like for 18 players, they'd be given 15 parchments, and you can decide how you do that. So if, like, early on you want to cast 3 votes for somebody, feel free, but that means you're going to be out on votes later. And it was just kind of let the players decide how they wanted to handle that. But I thought that was kind of a cool idea.
There was one of my online Survivor games that did that, but it was from the merge on. So at the merge, we all got, like, I think there was 11 of us or something. We all got 8 votes to use however we wanted. And it added a lot of extra strategy into the game because you could blindside someone by, like, making them feel comfortable so that they didn't use their vote because they thought that they were in the majority and so they just don't use their vote. And then there's, like, all sorts of different maneuvering things happening and, like, okay, well, if you do feel okay, then maybe you don't vote. There was a point when I was going to play an idol and I was like, I'm just not going to vote if I play my idol because I don't really care who goes home at that point. It's like a totally different game a little bit. It adds a lot of intrigue. I would love for Survivor to do that at some point, for US Survivor to do that.
Yeah, I think that would be very fun. I thought it was a cool idea. It would be a little bit, I could see it struggling a little bit as a viewer just trying to track it, but they could help us out there with just some, like, graphics they throw up on the screen of, like, here's the votes that people have and stuff like that.
Yeah. There also, when I played it, I had an advantage that I could at any point I could, like, ask how many votes someone else still had.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Because it eventually turned into a lot of, like, it was like my side versus this other people's side. And we were trying to track, like, how many votes people actually had used and not used and things like that.
Yeah, because you really wouldn't know. And it would depend on if they changed up the vote reveal. Like, when Jeff reads the votes, he stops at majority.
Yeah, but so the way that they handled it was they always read every vote, no matter what. That doesn't make great TV, though.
Yeah, but they could edit that part out for us.
Or it could be that Jeff,
because they show us,
like, there are 7 votes tonight or something like that.
In the region. Because they show us we see all the votes as viewers anyways through the credits.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. Banter. Check.
Check.
Episode 7. Let's not be cute about it. Let's just talk
about
it.
And let's not be cute about it. This episode, man, I wasn't that negative about it when I first watched it. And the more I have thought about this episode, the more frustrated I've been getting.
See, I think I've had the reverse of that, where I was annoyed with it almost immediately, but then I've kind of come around to it. So interesting. We'll see how this discussion goes when we get to the more frustrating parts. We get some time. They decide on the name of the tribe to be Vava, which Jam Jam claims means four. So for season 44,
I was disappointed that they did not choose the word that Jam Jam mentioned means survivor in Fijian, which is Jam Jam.
Yeah, it's weird that hasn't come up so far.
Yeah, weird.
Matt and Franny have a nice walk. Matt is happy his votes are back. Got to enjoy those moments while we can, since the Frankenship will be over for what we witness soon. But
yeah, for the record, Vav does mean four in Fijian. Jam Jam isn't making that up. That part's true.
Well, what about Jam Jam meaning survivor?
That part's false.
You sure? Did you look it up, or you're just assuming it's false?
I'm pretty sure it's false, but it is also actually false.
Brandon's talking about who has the Soka idol, the one that was in the cage. He says that his was beads and says that there was a fake one too. And Matt is like, well, shit, maybe mine is a fake then also, because ours only had the one. And Danny was acting suspicious. So he's like, maybe Danny has the real one. I've got the fake one. He tells this to Brandon and Kane and Jam Jam. Which there in his exit interview, Matt talked about how he was kind of already suspicious of his idol. And so this was like just helpful in like solidifying his suspicion.
Yeah, it was. This sequence was very impressive. And I was like, oh, man, like, I'm so excited for this to come to a head. We'll get there more. But one of my frustrations with this episode is that the first like 20 minutes before the challenge felt like it was setting a lot of things up that then didn't happen.
Yeah, it was like
really excited for everything it was setting up.
And can't wait to blindside Danny.
Right, exactly. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. Like, Matt now knows that Danny's idol is, like, Danny does have an idol. Danny thinks that no one knows about that. So he thinks he's totally safe. Like, this is going to be great. Matt, like, confirming that his idol is fake is, like, a big, important move. Yeah, this was very exciting.
Yeah, so I wonder either I wonder if it is setting stuff up for future, like maybe next episode that's going to come to a head more, and it just didn't work out this episode with how the challenge worked out. And so like that's why they still included it. Or I mean, it could just be naturally like that's how it was going. Like Matt was not a big target until the nature of the challenge kind of forced him to become a target, and so they didn't have anything like towards the Matt side of things to show before the challenge.
Yeah, that's fair. I also think that it was important for them to show that Matt knew that his idol was fake, or was pretty sure his idol was fake, because that played into the rest of the episode also.
Yeah, it also, some of that was Danny wanting to get rid of Lauren because she has two votes, and that was important for later in the episode too, of playing out who was voting for whom. So it all kind of worked out. It was just a lot of stuff relating to Danny, and then he ended up not even being a possibility, and so it didn't matter. We head to the immunity challenge, which is kind of it's a team one and an individual one. So they're split into two teams of five. And Carson is the 11th person. And so he does not have to compete. He just chooses beforehand to align with Orange. And so he gets their win if they win or their loss if they lose. And they have to balance a long pole on top of their head that has like a plate on one side and a ball on it and have to last as long as possible.
Yeah, so we can talk about how this challenge goes. I just want to put a bug in your ear, I guess, of I want to talk about the Carson situation when we get to Tribal Council, because I think that if Orange team that Carson sided with would have ended up losing this, everything would have played out differently, and I want to go down that rabbit trail. We can do that later. I just want to throw a little plug in right now of I think we should talk about that.
Okay. So we see the challenge play out where they compete this way. The last person standing on each team gets immunity for sure. And then the last team standing gets immunity for their entire team. They're playing for that immunity plus also peanut butter and jelly and potato chips and iced tea. And it gets down to be like 3-1 maybe. Franny versus like
4-1.
4-1? Is it 4-1?
Yeah, it was 4-1.
So Franny versus four others, Jamie, Matt, Jam Jam, and Brandon. And she holds it off and they all get eliminated. And so Franny wins it for her entire team, which means that Heidi, Kane, Danny, Franny, and Carolyn all have immunity, and Carson, because he chose to align with the Orange team. And so the people on the chopping block this episode are Lauren, Jam Jam, Jamie, Matt, and Brandon. Couple notable things here are Franny had herself guaranteed immunity once everybody else on her team dropped out. So when it was 4-1, she already guaranteed had immunity. And so, because there was like talk online about, hey, she could have. So like she was fine no matter what happened. And so her staying on just protected the other people on her team. So Carolyn, for Danny, Kane, and Heidi. Whereas if she dropped it would have guaranteed everybody else on the other team would have had immunity. And so that's including where there's, including Matt, who she's obviously very closely aligned with. And so that's where there was talk of like, she should have just purposely given up so that way Matt could have gotten immunity. And she didn't.
It also, part of that too, was that there were conversations earlier in the episode of wanting to blindside Danny. And if she would have dropped, Danny would have been vulnerable. So yeah. Like the person who we assume Franny wanted to target also would have been vulnerable. Like she basically had the choice of letting Matt be vulnerable and winning the challenge or losing the challenge, protecting her biggest ally and making her.
Right. Yeah. But then also having to process all of that while you're in the middle of a challenge, trying to like balance this bowl and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe it doesn't come across with what I just said, but I've seen a lot of things online of people saying like she should have dropped out of the challenge basically, or like made it look like she was failing or whatever. Maybe not made it so obvious, but she should have lost. I totally understand the impulse of like,
win.
Yeah. Like I'm here and I want to win and I want to get that necklace.
Yeah.
And agree. Trying really hard.
I agree. So she does win immunity. So the purple team, who lost gets sent to the old Soka camp. And they have to go there to like strategize before tribal council. So that way they can't communicate with the winning team at all. And the winning team goes back to their camp to get their prize and a little adventure as well.
Can we talk about this tweet?
Yeah.
The more removed I have gotten from this episode, the more frustrated I am that they can't just have something where everyone is vulnerable.
Yeah, so this is where I've like kind of come around on it, and it doesn't matter that much to me either way, but because I was like, a lot of the stuff I was seeing was like, Matt really got screwed here. It ended up being that only 4 people could get votes out of 11 people that 11. Were on, right? But then there's like options that like to keep yourself safe. So like if like there's been multiple immunity idols that Matt could have had to like protect himself. If he was allied, like the idea of Franny purposely losing to make him safe is another option that could have kept him safe. Like, so even though it was that there was only 4 people vulnerable out of like 11, there's like everybody of those 4 had multiple options of things that could have like happened to try to keep themselves safe. And so like I don't view them as getting like screwed over in that sense.
I have less of a problem with the idea of Matt being screwed, because I kind of agree with you with that. I do think that there is a thing of like, he did think that he had found an idol. He did have like great relationships and just like got unlucky with this being the crew that he was stuck with for this vote. So, like, I do think there is a little bit of bad luck there.
The control of vote twist, like, I mean, I guess it's just lots and lots of bad luck, because, like, that gives the people from the other team a chance to, like, still save him, and that didn't happen, kind of right. Because of who found it.
My issue is less with Matt's bad luck in this type of scenario, and more that, like, Carolyn, Carson... I think it's actually just those 2, but still, they have had a random immunity the last 2 weeks, which like last week was a team challenge. So they at least like contributed to that. But this one, it's like Carson literally did nothing. Carolyn was like the first one out, but still gets immunity just because Franny held out. And that feels unfair to me, that like they just happen to draw the same color rock as Franny. And so I don't know why we can't, they're supposedly merged. We have 11 people. Why can't 10 of those people be vulnerable?
Yeah, I'm not sure the show's reasoning for that. Like, I don't know if it is trying to stop like the 2 big tribes from taking out Tika. So like Jam Jam and Carolyn and maybe even Carson or something.
But that didn't happen in 41 or 42 or 43. When we did do that, at Final 11, we did a big, just normal challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That has been more of my issue with it than like Matt being unfair, of more just like I think it is the exciting part of the early merge for me is that like there's so many people and so many things going on and so many different plans, and that's just like not happening. And I want that to happen.
Yeah, but then by that similar idea, like if it had just been individual immunity, like we saw before the challenge that it didn't seem like there was going to be that many plans. It was like Danny or Lauren. And maybe if like they had a whole nother day to strategize, it would have been different where there was going to be like other plans coming out.
Right. That I think that there would have been all sorts of other strategy and stuff. Just like in almost every episode of Survivor that we've ever seen.
Yeah, but though we saw lots of different strategy and ideas being tried here too.
Yeah. I don't know that I agree with you. I think that the second half of this episode was Matt and Jam Jam trying to convince the other three that they should stay.
Right. So it was between Matt and Jam Jam, which is how most edits usually go, is like it's between two people. But then also with the control of vote twist, it was the possibility of that getting like a complete wrench thrown in of it potentially being one of the three that were in control.
Yeah. I feel like there is no room to maneuver, which is kind of their point, that it's like a more dangerous game and all of that. But I am like, it's also not a more dangerous game for people that happen to pick the same color rock as Franny. Like, I think my frustration is that it is so luck-based, because it is like, Lauren or Danny have done things that have increased their threat level, or have like Lauren could have used that extra vote so that it was just gone and she wasn't a target anymore. I kind of think that she should have done that this week, which we can get to that later. Or like Danny actively misled Matt and got caught doing it, basically. So like if it would have been between Lauren and Danny, I'm kind of okay with that, especially because they would have thrown in other things, or there would have been more dynamics happening there, or maybe they would have teamed up together in some way or whatever. But like it coming down to just these two people that happened to not pick the same color rock as Franny, that sucks.
Yeah, but we talked about that there's way like connections that they could have had to work around this, like whether it was shot in the dark or Franny purposely losing the challenge to save them or getting the control of vote to fix it. And I think like Danny and Lauren, like the things you said, there's no reason that this has to be the episode they go. Like that same stuff is going to be, it's not like that stuff just happened. That stuff happened earlier in the season. So like those same things are going to come to a head next episode or the episode after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that they will. I miss the like, just, I think I just generally don't like it when half of the people are suddenly immune, particularly in a situation like this, when most of them didn't do anything. Like four of those people that were immune, five of the people that were immune were either didn't compete or were one of the first five people out of the challenge. Yeah. And so they really did nothing to earn that immunity. And that bugs me. Carson literally did nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I would counter that, like, if we go back like an episode or two, like if we hadn't merged yet, that's kind of how it's going when it would, like if they had to do one with where their tribes were at, 2-4-4, like half of each team would have had to sit out to go against Tika, who's only down to like two people. And so similar stuff is happening there where people are getting immunity without doing anything.
Sure. But we have merged. Like that's how the tribe.
Yeah, I just
goes, and now we're in the individual section of the game, and but it's not an individual section of the game.
Yeah, but that is
my problem.
I think you're locked into old Survivor, and we're in the new era where like different, like the merge is different than it used to be.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Okay, I think it's just like it's a bridge between the tribes. Like this week was very much just we are in two tribes instead of three tribes, and so that's why half the people were immune, basically.
I think if at final 12, if they would have done like a old school style tribe swap and stayed in those tribes for two episodes and then done a merge at final 10, I would have no problems. And it feels like that's kind of what they're doing, but not.
Wait, so then why? Yeah, so it is kind of like for one episode, we saw a tribe swap to two tribes. They had an immunity challenge.
Yeah, but they're They're pretending that that's not what this is. They're calling this the merge, and it's not.
Okay, so had Jeff said, okay, we're switching to two tribes for one episode.
Honestly, I would be much better with that.
That's what happened.
He didn't say that.
I know, like, he didn't say that, but that's like what went down on the show. So what, like him saying we're in two tribes for one episode and then we're going to be back to one tribe, like him saying it versus what actually, like, that is what happened. Like, what difference does that make?
I think I have a hard time with it being like, oh, we're going to make a big deal about how you have to earn the merge, and like half of you have earned the merge and the other half have to survive the vote. And then you earn the merge and have this big celebration where you all get your merge buffs. But then it's not actually, you're not merged. You are actually, we're going to split you up into two separate tribes again tomorrow. That.
But you just said you would be okay if that's what he had done.
Without the merge.
Okay.
If he would have gone to three tribes to two tribes and not said that you were merged, I'd be okay with that. But I'm like, I feel like we're not merging. And that is my problem. We're living on the same beach, but we're not actually in one tribe. And yeah. That frustrates me.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I agree. I think I'm just like, it's just another like thing that Survivor's doing. I just feel like it is kind of just like we're two tribes for this episode.
Yeah, I would just like to see like them all get to vote.
I think we will. Like, the season's not over.
Sure. It just has, like, I'm frustrated by it.
We did get to see everybody vote last episode. Like, it's just as like one break from that for doing this shakeup.
Yeah, but in that, half of them were immune. So like the idea of just like we're in the individual game now because we're merged, one person being immune, everyone gets to vote. That is what like the merge means to me. And I get that that's not what Survivor is doing anymore. And I'm just like, I prefer, even like 42 and 43 and 41, all of them did something similar to this at like final 10. It was just like both groups had to vote someone out. And maybe we'll do that next episode. I don't know. But like, there at least were a couple episodes where everybody voted before we did that. Where I'm just like, half of the group being immune every time feels...
Two times. I know that is every time so far for the merge. Yeah, but like, I feel like we still have several episodes left. You're going to get what you want. It's coming.
Maybe.
Okay. We get to see some time with the purple team enjoying their food reward, their peanut butter and jelly and chips. They get a message that says that they can open it when they finish eating. So they enjoy their time eating, thinking about the message, talk about things going. They're talking about how they think it's going to be between Matt and Jam Jam. And mostly it seems like people like Matt, except Carolyn's nervous because she's allied with Jam Jam. And so she wants him to be safe. And their message says that there's a new advantage locked in the cage and that there's keys scattered in the jungle. And so they have to search for keys and try to open the cage. First to open it gets the advantage. And so they are running around trying to search for keys and test out keys. Kane has a good quote here where he, talking about running around with a belly full of peanut butter and jelly, says, "I'm like a sloppy Sasquatch." Heidi.
This sequence I did think was fun. The idea of reusing the birdcage for something else, mm-hmm. and them having the like, scurry and find the keys. I liked this.
Heidi eventually got the cage open and she finds out she has the control a vote advantage, where she gets to control the vote of one player at tonight's tribal council. So she cannot save this. It is for right now. She basically tells everybody about this advantage, and is trying to get like advice of what they think she should do.
I think it's also the smart move to tell everybody about it because it's going to be public. So she,
I think it sucks that this advantage is a public advantage. Like, I wish there was a way that it could have been done. Not that her having it was public, but a way that her control was secret would have been nice. If she would announce, like, I have a control vote advantage, and Jeff's like, okay, go up to the voting booth and write down whose vote you want to be for what or for who. And then when that person comes vote, they'll find out. Like, I wish that part was in secret.
I kind of wish that it was a choice, because like I see your point that makes it more like a steal a vote, where I do think that the most interesting use of this would have been for her to force one of the three former Ratu to vote for each other, and it being public gives Matt and Jam Jam the heads up of where their vote needs to go.
Yeah, so I think Yeah, I think that would work with my plan, kind of, just because I think with most advantages and idols, the choice to go public with it is always an option. It's just most people like to keep that stuff secret. And so she could do it and then be like, hey, by the way, this is what I did.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm assuming that she would not be allowed to do that because they weren't allowed to talk.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's where, so here, that's another spot where if they, she was set on trying to save Matt or save Jam Jam or save both of them, she could have played this differently later than what she did. We get some time with the orange team on Soka camp, just talking through strategy. This is mostly lots of going back and forth of just like, is it going to be Matt or Jam Jam? Is there any way that Matt and Jam Jam can team up to get rid of Brandon or Lauren or is it Jamie? Is the other one?
Yeah.
And where they can't get rid of Brandon because he has immunity since he was the last one alive on that team, but Jamie or Lauren. Another thing that comes up is Matt did not bring his bag to the challenge because he didn't think that it would be like straight from challenge to tribal council situation. And so he does not have his shot in the dark or even the chance of his idol that he's pretty sure is fake, but he can't even like test it because he doesn't have it with him.
Right. And he says later that he totally would have done those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't blame him for that. Yeah. And so we go to tribal council. Matt asks Jeff, like, hey, can I ask if the other team brought my bag? And if they have it, like, can I have it? And Jeff doesn't really clarify whether that is going to be allowed. He first is like, hey, does anybody over there have their bag? And nobody brought his bag. So it's not, not an issue. I would have been curious if they did bring his bag, if they, if Jeff would have let him get it. My guess is yes.
Jeff answered that in an interview.
Oh.
Entertainment Weekly asks Jeff that this week, and Jeff said no.
Oh, really?
He said that part of this twist was that the Orange crew were not allowed to have any say in who goes home, and that would have been part of that. Like, they were not allowed to communicate or give anything to that tribe at all.
Okay. Matt did bring a papaya and said, Jeff, can I offer you a papaya in these trying times? He was looking for some peace without voting anybody off, which is a very fun moment. And there's a good camera.
It was very fun. Did you?
The camera shot of the papaya?
Oh, yes. That was also very good. I, when it happened, was like, this is a reference to something, but couldn't figure out what it's a reference to. And I still have that feeling.
There's a, like a there's an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode where Danny DeVito as Frank says, can I offer you an egg in these trying times? And just offers up like a hard-boiled egg to somebody. I don't know if it is referencing that, but I think it's what more likely referencing the meme of that. Like, just because that's like an internet meme. That makes a lot of sense.
I was like, this feels vaguely familiar and I can't place why. And I was like, this, I watched it on Wednesday night. I was like, this hasn't been spoiled for me. I was very confused of like, what this was tickling in my brain. That's what it is. Yeah. It was very fun to see Matt just be like, Jeff, if I give you a papaya, maybe we can just skip tribal. Huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is the clip it's from.
I think I've been poisoned by my constituents.
Oh my God.
Can I offer you a nice egg in this trying time?
Yeah, he's got an egg. You might.
Okay. That is a weird clip to see from the middle of the show.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, so I think he could be a big It's Always Sunny fan and he's referencing that, but that has also just become like a meme on the internet. And so my guess it's more of like a reference to the meme. Yeah, so that was fun. Matt kind of just lays out what's going down, how it's between Jam Jam and him. And then before they go vote, Heidi's like, hey, I have this control of vote thing. And she says Lauren has to vote for Jam Jam. And Lauren's like, okay. And then she's like, hey, Jeff, does that control my extra vote too? And he's like, nope, just the one. Which if it, like, it makes sense, but it could have been cool that, I don't know. Like, she got to choose whether she plays her extra vote, but it, I don't know whether I would have liked it one way or the other if it was like, if you choose to play your extra vote, you got to go by the control and have to vote for that also.
This is, like, super, super into semantics for of me to say. But I would have been frustrated if it also controlled the extra vote because it is control a vote and not control a voter.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So they vote. We see the reveal. Actually, before that, Jeff says, does anyone have an advantage to play? And we get a nice shot of Matt holding the papaya in his hands. That's his advantage.
Yeah. Good job, editors. That was fun.
Matt is gone 3-2, which means Lauren did not use her extra vote. And Matt is on the jury, first person on the jury. He says, as walking out, another bad play for Matt here, I feel like. He said, I'm proud of you, Franny, for winning today. And it's like, we get it. You, like, really like her, but, like, I feel like calling out anybody's name as you're leaving is usually a bad sign, like a bad thing to do. So he was voted out 3-2. We have seen that happen to Roger, Sean, Heidi, Burton, Rudy, Colby, Julie, Seku, Michelle, Evie, Gio, and now Matt. Lots of big names in there.
Yeah, wow. So if Carson had picked Purple Team and been with them, or if Orange Team would have lost, there would have been 6 people at this tribal instead of 5. And either of those scenarios, I think, would have played out very differently, because with 6 people, you need 4 for a majority. And so, like, if Carson would have gone here, I think Lauren would have played her extra vote and they wouldn't have split it. So it would have been like 4 on Matt, and Carson maybe decides. Carson would have been the pseudo swing. Like, Carson could have been with Jam Jam and Matt, and it would be like 3-3, and to force Lauren to play her extra vote, basically. And then that control vote makes a much bigger deal. Like, that gives Heidi way more power in that control vote scenario.
Yeah, except for how she used it. Like, she just, like, she used it to do what they were already planning on doing, and so it didn't, like, do anything.
That's, though, because she knew that, like, it was going to be 3-2, and with Lauren's extra vote, there was nothing that she could do. Like, it essentially was 4-2, and so she couldn't change it, where...
Well, she could have if she forced Lauren to vote for one of her own. Like, forced Lauren to vote for Jamie would have affected things. I guess Lauren would have just used her extra vote then, and 1-2-3. Yeah, that would have made it for like a, could have made it like a 3-3 tie.
Right.
She just didn't care enough about saving Matt to worry about that.
Well, but it would have been a 3-3 tie that then on the revote becomes a, I don't know if it would have been controlled on the revote or not.
I don't know. I would guess probably, but I don't know.
But yeah, she would have like been forced to, it would have continued to be a tie, and it would have been like rocks or force someone to flip. But like, so that would, I guess, would have been interesting. But I'm thinking that, like,
so that's where, like, I feel like if Carson was with the other team or whatever, like if it was 6 in that situation, where if Carson was with the purple team, I don't know that Heidi would have had that much power there either. Like, her power, I think, would have been deciding Jam Jam or Matt. Like, she wouldn't have been able to like flip everything, I feel like.
Oh, I think that she absolutely could have in that scenario. If Carson sided with Matt and Jam Jam.
And how so? Because she already was voting like with, like if she had done her same thing of Lauren vote Jam Jam, nothing changes.
Oh, I'm saying Lauren vote Jamie, and then it's not a tie.
Well, yeah, but if she's going to do that in your new scenario, she would have done that. And like, I don't see her doing that in the new scenario when she didn't do it in the old scenario.
In the present scenario, it forces a tie that probably goes to rocks and makes all of those people pissed off at her. In this scenario, she actually gets to force Jamie out. It's not a tie.
I don't know if I believe that Carson would have sided with Jam Jam and Matt or not.
I mean, that's fair. I don't know if that would have happened either. I think maybe the more interesting is if Franny would have dropped or lost, and Harold and Danny, Franny, Heidi, Kane, and Carson go to tribal. And if they can, like, that I think is more interesting.
Kind of. I think that would have
been a more interesting episode.
Oh, I think that would have just been Danny's gone. Except they would have to, like, they would have to do it as a blind side, but I think that Danny would have been gone.
And they tell Danny that they're targeting Kane, probably?
Kane or Carolyn.
Yeah, sure. So then does Carolyn also play an idol?
No.
And it also depends on who finds the control of vote advantage on the other side.
Right.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. And I think that one thing that I think is weird about this episode is that, like, they have done the, like, split into 2 teams of 5 and compete like this the past few seasons, but it's at the final 10 where there's two teams of five. So having the like one person sitting out of the challenge and choosing their team was an added weirdness.
They've done that before, right?
Yeah, not like in the post-merge split into two type of thing.
Yeah.
You're saying they have done that?
I thought so, where they had the odd person out who had to pick which team they were going to like choose.
I think that was at like Mergatory.
Okay. I think I'm a lot less. Okay. I am much less distinguishing between like pre-merge, merge, after-merge stuff. I'm just viewing it as two teams with an extra person picking a team.
Oh, yeah, that's fair, I guess. I mostly am voicing that I am kind of surprised that the like producers put all of this together, not knowing if this was going to be like a 5-person or a 6-person tribal council, because I think the control of vote has different impacts depending on how many votes there are to control. Like, it's more powerful in one scenario, which I guess maybe as we're talking,
I mean, this one had 6 votes possible too, with Lauren's extra vote.
So I guess maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe it's not that, and maybe that's ended up what they deciding. Maybe that's what they ended up deciding, is like there are too many other variables that it really could be anything. But
yeah, like I kind of like the control of vote option. Doing it for a big vote of like 10, it's obviously a lot less powerful. But the aspect of it that is interesting, I think, is the having to voice it publicly, because you are doing something that's going to put a target on you. So like with how Jamie chose to use it, I'm kind of surprised Heidi. She used it at all. Or Heidi, yeah. With how Heidi chose to use it, I'm surprised she used it at all.
Well, and she, with how everything turned out, with it not working, essentially, with it going, I think that she maybe was trying to communicate, hey, you guys should vote out Jam Jam and keep Matt. And they were like, nah, we're not doing that. But that means that she like made an enemy of Jam Jam. She friggin' wanted her to save, I guess friggin' wanted her to save Matt, and she did. But like she stole Lauren's vote, which Lauren is not going to be happy about.
I was kind of surprised she told Lauren to vote for Jam Jam, because it really seemed from what they were showing that Heidi was much more interested in keeping Jam Jam and getting rid of Matt.
I was surprised by that too, but I think that she was worried about cutting ties with Franny, or maybe Franny, I don't know, had convinced her that she and Matt would work with her together or something like that.
So Matt is gone, which means he and Franny can no longer flirt on the island, but news is that they are dating right now still. So months after, this is where, what, like 6 months after this filmed, that they are still dating. They've gotten Ethiopian food and everything.
They're planning a road trip together.
The Frankenship is strong. Preview for next week shows Franny sad. Brandon says he's dictating how the game is played. Carson is sick. Carolyn is stuck in a net. It looked like the similar challenge that to Noel got stuck in last season, I think.
Yeah.
Danny and Franny talking about making a big move and getting rid of someone from Ratu. So we'll see how that goes down. Things that are active in the show. Lauren still has an extra vote. Danny and Carolyn have idols. As far as we know, Jamie thinks she has an idol that's fake. And Brandon has a fake that he knows is fake, but that's becoming more public knowledge now. And then still the only shot in the dark we've seen used of anybody that's still in the show is by Jamie. Our predictions we made last week were...
Sorry, with that, I am curious if like someone could take Matt's shot in the dark out of his bag. I think we might see something about that next week, or if we don't, it's probably nothing.
I think they're not transferable. I feel like that's come up before, because like the idea of just like giving somebody yours, I think you get one and one, that's it. I don't think you can transfer them.
I think Matthew said that they were transferable. He like in his exit interview said that you were allowed to give them away to other people, because he was trying to figure out, he really wanted to use it strategically in some way. And so he like clarified some of the rules and stuff.
Well, maybe then,
but it wouldn't be Matt transferring it to someone. It'd be that someone taking it. So I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
Oh, I mean, if it's based off of that, I would say, I guess I don't know what the rules are for what becomes of somebody's luggage that they have left behind, because you are not allowed to steal advantages or idols from somebody.
Even if they're not in the game anymore?
Well, that's why I don't know what the rules are for him not being in the game. Does his luggage count as public property now? My guess is no. Like, you can't take it, but I have no idea. That's just a guess.
Yeah. Or could someone take the fake idol out of his bag and go and hide it as a real idol? I don't know.
That is probably fine, because that's not a show-owned item. That's just a string of beads. Like, that's not an advantage or idol.
Yeah. So that, those are extra things that are in the game kind of right now that I'm curious if anything's going to come of those things.
Yeah. Well, I guess would be no, but it would be more interesting if something did. We do need to pick an MVP for this episode.
We do. Ugh. I don't know that I like anybody as an MVP this episode. Okay.
I think I kind of have a weird one. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, Brandon.
Jam. I thought about Brandon. I said Jam because he was on the chopping block, but convinced them not to vote for him and survived, even though he had like a 50-50 shot. So good job, Jam.
Yeah, I picked Brandon because he won. Even though his team lost the challenge, he still won immunity for the challenge himself. And I think he's using the fact that he had to play his idol so early to save himself. He's using that knowledge well to kind of garner alliances a little bit by sharing, like when he was sharing the information about how his idol came with a fake idol, just like that knowledge he's putting out there doesn't hurt his own idol stuff, because that stuff's not in the game anymore, but is kind of gaining some alliance or trust among some people. His quote from the next on of he's dictating how the game is played is a real bad look for him, but for now, I gave him MVP.
So speaking of fantasy, Nate is pulling away more than he was last week with 1,316 points. I'm about 80 behind him with 1,238. And Chris is about 120 behind that with 1,115. Chris has 3 people left. Nate has 4 people left. And I have 4 people left. Chris has all of Chris's people also happen to be on either Nate or my team.
That's been true the entire season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't pick. Once Bruce left, I did not have any individual people.
Oh, man. So I think it is possible for Chris to get, like, second, but I think it's impossible for Chris to win. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, basically what I need is, like, for my 3 people to score 1 billion points, and for, like, Nate has Franny and Brandon, who I don't have, I need them to get, like, 0 points. And then Patrick has Carolyn and Jam. I need them to get like 0 points. And so like my combo of Danny, Kane, and Lauren that like Nate and Patrick both have a little bit of to just get tons of points, and still basically not possible, but we'll see. It's really coming down to the, if Carolyn and Jam hold on, Patrick will pull out the win here. And if not, it'll be Nate likely.
Yeah.
Our predictions last week, we predicted that Lauren or Danny would say the episode title, and it was Matt that said, let's not be cute about it. And we predicted the next boots would be Kane or Jamie, and we were on there. It was Matt. So we need to make predictions for the next episode title, which is Don't Get Cocky, Kid, which is a reference to Han Solo saying that in Star Wars.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to say Kane.
Oh, shoot. I shouldn't have revealed that. But yeah, that is that's Han Solo says that to Luke, I believe, in New Hope.
I was thinking, maybe like, Empire. Who would call another player kid? This doesn't make any sense. But if that's a Star Wars reference, which I did not catch, I'm going to say Kane.
Well. I'll say Carolyn.
Ooh, I can see that too.
And then we need to pick the next boot.
I have a hot take here. I think it's going to be Carson through Medivac.
From them showing him being sick?
We saw him being sick, which I would say, like, oh, that means it's going to be totally fine, except that Bruce and Matthew both were not fine after they really hyped up their injuries in previews. And Jeff really, really hyped up in the beginning of this season that we really get to see how dangerous it is out in the jungle and yada, yada, yada. And so I'm like, I think we maybe aren't done with the medical issues, and Carson might be leaving.
I'm going to predict Lauren, even though she is on my final three. Just because it talks about Danny and Franny talking about making a big move and getting rid of someone from Ratu, and she's on Ratu. So maybe the preview is just going to give it all away. Danny already is gunning for Lauren because she has two votes. And so maybe they'll be able to get rid of her and her extra vote. With our more like season long predictions, we had an update in the non-idol advantages, which is the control of vote. So that bumps us up to three non-idol advantages. Patrick is closest with predicting there'd be five of those. So we will see how that goes. But no other updates on anything else there. We did break our streak of somebody getting voted out with a different amount of votes every episode, or a different way every episode, because Helen got voted out with three votes, as did Matt. And so that streak is gone. Okay. We had to do final three last week.
Yeah, mine's staying the same. Lauren, Jam, Jam, Jam.
Yep, and mine was Franny, Lauren, and Jam, Jam. And even though I predict Lauren to be the next boot, I'll stick with that. Nate still has Lauren active in his final three. And all right, you got a luxury item this week?
Yes. I was like, I was thinking about this earlier and I can't remember what I said. Long walks. The weather's been really nice here in Ohio lately. We've been going on a lot of long walks. Nice walks are great. Getting outside, just being in nature. We have two dogs and a toddler, and taking them all out on walks. We've been doing that very, very frequently we always take the dogs for a walk, but we've been going on like long bike path walks a lot this week. And it's just very nice, very pleasant.
Cool. I'm going to say the Scream movie franchise. I went and saw Scream 6 in theaters this week. I hadn't seen it yet.
I think you mean Scream 6.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like part of the M is still used in the logo.
Yeah, that's fair. Scree I6.
And it's just a fun slasher series. I like them all. 6 is probably my least favorite of the series, but that doesn't mean it was bad. It was still fun. I think they're all really well written to kind of keep you guessing throughout, to like not know who the killer or killers are. And I just like that. It's always a fun time watching and trying to make predictions while you're going through and trying to see, okay, who's going to die, who's going to be the killer, and all that sort of stuff. I did my best predictions with this one, but I was still not completely right. So Scream franchise. I think a lot of them are streaming on something right now. I did already say all that, and I do this a lot. I have a different thing to recommend that I just thought of.
I was just thinking about how I have a different thing to recommend too.
This is a show called Jury Duty. It's on Freevee, which you can watch through like Amazon for free. The premise of the show is it is a court case, and it's like filmed like documentary style of a court case with a jury of 12 people, except every single person involved is an actor except one dude on the jury. And that one dude, Ronald, is just like stuck in the middle of all of these really weird people doing all sorts of wild stuff. Because they are acting and being instructed to do all of this weird, wild stuff. And it's just watching him like react to it and get involved and stuff. It is very fun. There are, I think, currently 6 episodes out. They're all like half hour episodes. There's going to be 2 more dropping next Friday on April 21st. And then that'll be it for the season. And it's been very fun. I really like it.
Yeah. Kayla and I have seen a bunch of previews for that and not actually sat down to watch it yet. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. You should.
My other thing to recommend is Cheerios Oat Crunch.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Cheerios person, but I tried out Cheerios Oat Crunch. I personally have tried cinnamon and oats and honey varieties. I really like the cinnamon. It's kind of like Honey Bunches of Oats is like cornflakes plus little granola oat clusters. And this is like Cheerios plus little oat clusters. But the oats get like stuck in the center of the Cheerio. It is so good. It is like my new favorite cereal, I think. It's excellent. So yeah. If you are a fan of Cheerios or cereal of any kind, Cheerios Oat Crunch, excellent.
At the Costco's by me, they usually have it. 2 box packs.
Ooh, we need to do a Costco run soon.
All right, listeners, let us know your favorite cereal or slasher franchise or long walk to take or jury duty experience by emailing us at travelcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweeting on us at travelcouncil20.
Did I tell you that I actually have jury duty this week for realsies?
Or at least nice. I think for realsies. Have you gone yet? Oh, okay.
I go this week. I'm supposed to go in on Tuesday, but maybe I'll be the only real person. Who knows?
I had jury duty a year and a half ago. And I sat in a room with a whole bunch of other people for like 6 hours as they like called some people out to like talk to the lawyers or whatever. And enough people got picked for jury that they were eventually like, okay, everyone else can go home. We're done. And so I never had to do anything. I just sat in a room for like 6 hours. So it was not exciting. So hopefully it's more exciting for you.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a couple books and stuff. We'll see. Kayla did it like a couple months ago and like was actually on a jury.
No, that's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Listeners, let us know about your jury experiences with all the info I already said. I'm not going to say it again. You heard it. For this week at Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.